Okay, good morning. Welcome to our monthly Rosh Chodesh here at the Young Israel of Woodmere on this beautiful morning. Baruch Hashem, the sun is shining, and it's quite milder than it was last week. So we're coming up to Adar. We were Mevarich the Chodesh this past Shabbos, of course. Adar Aleph is not an Adar that we get all the time. It's an Adar that we have from time to time in different years. Nevertheless, it is Adar, and it does start to put us into the mood of feeling we're almost at Purim. And of course, before we know it, Adar Bet will be here. Why is Purim in the second Adar and not in the first Adar? The reason is because we want Somchin Geula LeGeula. We want the Geula, the redemption of Purim, to be close to Somchin, next to the Geula of Pesach, and therefore Purim is celebrated in the second Adar and not the first Adar. Adar is a time of simcha, certainly. It is a time of celebration. It's a time where you just feel, even as the seasons change, and it's a time where we move into the time period of Geula. The Geula in Shushan Habira, of course, and the 127 provinces will be quickly followed by the Geula of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a time of laughter and levity. It's a time of commemoration. It's a time of Purim and Shushan Purim, Mishloach Manos, Mikrag Megillah. It's also a time of Zachar, and it's a time of Amalek. And the Pasuk tells us in Devarim, I ask that you please take a handout. You do need it for this year. It's on the Bima if you don't have one in the middle of the room. Please get one. So the Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim on the top of page 1, the bottom of your handout has a page number. Please make sure you're at the top of page 1. So the Pasuk says in Devarim Perchav Hei, Pasuk Yad Zayin, it says Devarim 25:17 on your paper. The famous Zachar as the Shar Salach HaMalik. Remember what Amalek did to you, Baderech B'tzeizchem in Mitzrayim. On your way, when you were coming out of Egypt, these are the psukim that we will read on what is known as Shabbos Parshas Zachar, the Shabbos that precedes Purim. And what do we remember? Sher Karcha Baderech, you all know the words along with me. Ayizanei B'chol Kolanech Shalim Echarecha V'alta Tayef V'yageya. V'lo Yarei Elokim V'haya Baniach Hashem Elokacha Mikol Eivecha Misaviv. I did not give you the whole passage. We've been hearing these psukim since we were the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah and going to Shul to listen to the Kriya on Shabbos Zachar. But what's interesting is that the psukim begin with Zachar and the passage ends with Lo Tishkach. I just read the psukim. They just said the psukim to you. The Ayah will be when you have rest in the land that God gives you from all your enemies all around you. Erase the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. Lo Tishkach. So we begin with Zachar. We end with Lo Tishkach. Aren't those the two things that are the same? One tells you to remember. One tells you not to forget. It's two sides of the same coin. So what does the Ramban have to say? If you look on your handout, please. Zachar es asher salacha Amalek. Okay? So the Ramban says, Kvar hizkarti ha-medrash shadarshu bo sifra. I already mentioned what the medrash says in the sifra. Yachal bilvavcha, kishuhu omer lo tishkach, harei shechichat ha-lev amura. What does it mean, Zachar, the Ramban is teaching you? Does it mean to remember in your heart? If it already says lo tishkach is shechichat ha-lev. The not forgetting in the heart. So Ramban's trying to understand, what does it mean, Zachar? If it tells you lo tishkach, does it mean in your heart? But we have already have a command not to forget in your heart. Ha, ma'ani mekayim Zachar. What is Zachar adding that lo tishkach says, don't forget. Don't forget from where? He just said it, I just read it. In your heart. So if lo tishkach means don't forget in your heart, what does Zachar mean? Shatehe shone beficha. Zachar means something else. What does Zachar mean? It's a positive commandment to remember where, to speak about it. Picha, in your mouth, in your lips. V'chein b'sifrei, and so too the Sifri teaches. Zachar es asher salacha malik bepeh. Lo tishkach balev. So there actually are two sides of the same coin. This idea of remembering slash not forgetting. And yet one is at the level of the heart, or we might say the mind, the emotive experience. And one is the verbal expression speaking about it. So the zachar bapeh. Lo tishkach balev. These are the bookends of this mitzvah zachar. Velo yadati mahi hazchira zu befeh. So if it means to remember it in the mouth, I don't know what it means, says the Ramban. What is the remembrance in the mouth? What does that mean? How do I fulfill the mitzvah to remember Amalek in my mouth? Ve'im lo marsha nikra parshas Amalek b'tzibur. If you say that it means to read the parsha of Amalek in the congregation, which is what we do, we have parshas zachar. There's always, usually, I should say, a second reading in the afternoon for the woman who could not go in the morning for whatever reason. So we do this. So that's an halacha from the Gemara Maseches Megillah. Shnia Zachar means the second Shabbos in Adar. B'sheni b'shnia, the second Shabbos in Adar. Zachar, you read Adar, which is... You read Zachar, which is what we do. So you have a mitzvah d'oraisa, says the Rambam, based on that Gemara, based on Zachar, the second Shabbos in Adar, to publicly betzibur, read this passage. That's what it means, Zachira. Bepeh. So that's what the Ramban says. What does Zachar mean? Zachar means Bepeh. What does Lotishkach mean? We're reviewing. Lotishkach means exactly heart, mind, emotional experience of not forgetting. How do you implement Zachira in your mouth? So the Ramban says, based on the Gemara, based on the Pasuk, well, how do you implement Zachira? You go to Shul, Beit Zibra, and you read this passage. That's Bepeh. V'hanachon beinai. But the Ramban adds something. The correct thing in my eye means my interpretation, my explanation of the mitzvah, Shahu Lomar. Shalotishkach ma'aybol did this for you. I am in the last paragraph in the Ramban on your handout. V'anachon be'enai, shahu lomar, shalotishkach ma'asalanu Amalek. We should not forget what Amalek did to us. Ad shenimcha et shmo mitachal shemayim, till his name is erased from under the heavens. V'shenisaper ze libaneinu. And not only is it enough for us, lotishkach, but that's the lotishkach. What's the zachar? Shenisaper ze libaneinu, we must tell it to our children, v'ledoraseinu, and to the generations, lomar lahem, to tell the next generations, kach asalanu harasho. So it's not enough lo tishkach that you remember, but what do you have an obligation to do with zachar? To verbally, orally transmit what Amalek has done to us. V'shenisaper ze libaneinu, v'ledoraseinu, lomar lahem, kach asalanu harasha. You have an obligation to tell your children and the descendants and the students and the next ones who are coming, this is what the Rasha did to us. V'lekach nitztavinu limchot eshemo. And explain to the children, you know why we have been commanded to destroy their name. We've been commanded to destroy their name and their remembrance because of what they did to us. I didn't give it to you on your handout because I figured for lack of time we wouldn't go through it, but I'll just tell you outside how the Ramban finishes. I have the Lashon HaKodesh in my sheer notes, but he then goes on to talk about Miriam, because one of the Sheish Zachiris is remembering Miriam. So now, since he's talking about Zachar anyway, vis-a-vis Ambalek, the Ramban brings up Zachiris Miriam. He brings up a very interesting point. The Zachiris Miriam is to remember what happened, or she spoke Lashon Hara, she was stricken with Tzara'as. We should not speak Lashon Hara, so we won't be stricken with Tzara'as. But the Ramban brings up a beautiful point. He says, Afal pisha haya ro'ui gam lahastiro shaloda daber b'gnutan shal tzadikim. What did the Ramban just say? Isn't it Lashon Hara to talk about someone who speaks Lashon Hara? Furthermore, she was a tzaddik, yes. Wouldn't it be worthy that the Torah should hide what has been done? How could he tell me, Zachar, so Hashem el kechel and Miriam, but the Rechut says to him, it's right. Why am I remembering Miriam? It's Lashon Hara to talk about the tzaddik, yes. She spoke Lashon Hara. So does two Lashon Haras make it right? Does two Lashon Haras make it even better? Aval tziva kasuv lo'odia v'legaluso, the Torah commanded us and publicized it, kadesha tehe azharas Lashon Hara suma b'fiyam. The same thing, Zachar, well, remember what happened to Miriam. The Azhara of Lashon Hara has to be placed in our mouth. Mipnei shehu chayk gadol v'goreim ra'ot rabo. Rabos ra'os. It's a terrible sin and it causes so much bad and everybody sins in it. Tamid. Ubnei Adam nichshalim bo tamid. Once he's talking about Zachar in the mitzvah of Zachiris Amalek, he tells us about Zachiris Miriam. And he says, you would think it will be Lashon Hara to talk about Miriam. She's a tzaddik. Yes, and two Lashon Haras don't make it right. One plus one should not be two positives in this case. Nevertheless, because it's such a terrible sin, we need to learn from Miriam. I just thought that was very interesting. We have a mitzvah de oraisa to remember what Amalek did to us. We just saw a couple of explanations into Zechira of the Ramban. Yet sometimes in remembering, I think what happens on a grand scale, And we've been through so many galuyos and so many times of shmad, persecution, that we remember on a grand scale sometimes, and we forget perhaps what it means on an individual level. So we speak in terms of nations instead of in terms of a person. We speak in terms of the past instead of the present. We speak in terms of millions instead of in terms of the what. We forget, or maybe we never knew, the names of the parent, the child, because we think of 6 million. Maybe we never knew the name of the father and the son killed in the drive-by shooting because there were so many kedoshim. And yet I thought it was very interesting that if you look in the pasuk, Devarim 25:17, right at the top of your sheet, Zachar es asher salach ha-malik b'derech b'tzeis ha-mimitzrayim, it is in the Lashon Yachid. Zachar es asher asah lecha amalek. When we're talking about a nation of millions of people, and it is, of course, a command to the nation as a whole, so maybe this pasuk should be written in the Lashon Rabbim. You all shall remember, and yet it's talking to each and every Yachid about each and every Yachid. Zachar, you shall remember. Lashon Yachid, Asosher Asal Lacha Amalek. What Amalek did to each individual, and therefore we are commanded as individuals to remember each individual. So I'll tell you, when I think of Rosh Chodesh Adar, my children, they say, Kanaidahar, they say they can't mention anything around me because it either goes back to the Holocaust or goes back to the victims in Eretz Yisrael. Somehow the conversation will always end up, like if we're peeling vegetables, they don't want to talk about the peelings. It's black humor. When we were talking about the bar mitzvah, which we recently made, Baruch Hashem, so we were going through the schedule, what to write in the schedule that was going to the family, who was coming from out of town, so we wanted to say about Shalosh Shudis, the men are going to have Shalosh Shudis in Shul, and the women and the children are going to have Shalosh Shudis at our house. So I said to my husband, women and children, you know what that reminds me of? Nabuch, this is how I think sometimes. So what is it? You understand where I'm going with that? Yeah. Right. So I'll tell you what Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph reminds me of. It reminds me of Yeshiva America's Harav. It was on that year, the English day was Thursday evening, March 6, 2008, when an Arab terrorist, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, entered Yeshiva Merkaz Harav. I hope everybody knows what I'm talking about. If you don't, you're going to hear somewhat about it today. And he opened fire with his Kalashnikov rifle on the students learning in the Beis Medrash. In a few minutes of terror, he released between 500 to 600 bullets. He murdered 8 Talmidim and he seriously wounded 10 others. Ultimately, he was shot dead by an off-duty officer. When the boys, and I remember this so powerfully, when they first heard the shots, they thought that it was fireworks in celebration of Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. Of course, they were very wrong. It was the modern-day Haman Ha'agagi Tzorer HaYehudi Mizera Amalek, who has one mission, one desire, one goal, and one purpose. Vayomer Haman LeMelech HaChashveirosh, Yeshlo Am Echad Mefuzer HaMefuer Bein HaAmim. And Haman says to the king HaChashveirosh, there is one people. They are scattered. They are dispersed amongst your nations. V'chol Medinos Machusecha, in all of your 127 provinces, V'zaseim Shonos Mikol Am. And their religion is different than the religions of all other people. They do not keep the law of the king. It's just not worth it to keep them. If the king sees it's good in his eyes, let us write a contract to destroy them. I will pay you. And the king takes off his ring and he gives it to Haman ben Hamdasaha Agagi Tzorei HaYehudim. Agag was Amalek, Tzorei HaYehudim, the oppressor of the Jews. And the king says to Haman, the money is yours and the nation to do what you want. And they send out runners very, very quickly to all the provinces of the king in every language. The Kedoshim, this is in memory of Nirya Kohen. These were the Merkaz Harav Kedoshim. Nirya Kohen, Segev Piniel Avichayel, Yonatan Yitzchak Eldar, Avram David Moses, Yochai Lifshitz, Roe Aaron Roth, Yonadav Hirschfield, and Aron Maharta Zichonam Livracha Hashem Yinkom Dama. I chose specifically to focus on Zachar Sosher Asalacha. We have to remember, we have a command, says the Ramban, to remember in our mouths, and not only to remember in our mouths, but to transmit the Mesorah of Amalek to our children, and to transmit the Mesorah of what they have done to us to each and every generation. Lecha, in the Yachid, it's true, we have to focus on our national destiny, but we cannot forget that every person as an individual is an entire world into and of himself. So for the purposes of today's shir, I have focused on lessons that we learn from one of these Kedoshim who were murdered on Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. It was 11 years ago, Doron Meharta. So Doron was 26 years old. He was the eldest of the eight Kedoshim. In 1991, at the young age of 9 years old, Doron moved with his family from Ethiopia to Eretz Yisrael. What's very interesting is, I lived in Israel when I was in ninth grade. It was the 1990-1991 school year. I went to Tzvi'a High School, Al Shem of Tzvi Yehuda Kook. And I was in Israeli high school. I loved it there. I cried terribly when we had to come home. Where he's come back. But what's interesting is that when the Ethiopian Olim came in 1991, I volunteered at the Merkaz Klitot, the absorption centers, to help absorb the immigrants. Doron was one of those immigrants. He moved with approximately 60,000 other Ethiopian men, women, and children. They journeyed mostly on foot to neighboring Sudan, where they were secretly airlifted in Operation Moses and Operation Solomon. They settled in Ashdod. They adjusted to life in the Promised Land. After 8 years, he wanted to enroll in a mainstream yeshiva high school. He traveled to Yerushalayim, Doron, and he applied for admission to Merkaz Harav. Due to his weak background in Judaic studies, he lacked the Gemara skills. He was not accepted. He did not become bitter. He did not argue or complain to the Rosh Yeshiva. However, he did not give up on his dream. Doron said, "If I cannot be accepted as a Talmid in your yeshiva, can I stay as a worker? I will wash the dishes and I will help out with whatever is needed in the kitchen." They had never received such a request. Realizing the sincerity of this boy, they agreed, and he got to work. For a year and a half, Doron washed the dishes, the pots, and the pans. He was a kitchen worker. In between meals, he could be found in the Beit Medrash with his head buried in the Gemara. Striving to learn and understand, he was not embarrassed to ask those younger than him for help figuring out the pshat. After a year and a half, he got up the courage. He nervously approached the Rosh Yeshiva. Again, could I have the opportunity to be tested? The Rosh Yeshiva smiled and kindly said, "The Bachrim here are on a very high level. Not every yeshiva is for every Bachr." Doron had fierce determination. He began speaking and learning with the Rosh Yeshiva. A question of the Tosfos, the Rosh Yeshiva answered. With tears in his eyes and of a heart overcome with affection, the Rosh Yeshiva embraced Doron after the impromptu faher, and he welcomed him as a full-fledged student. Doron did not rest on his laurels. He learned full speed ahead. On Shabbos, he would go home to Ashdod to be with his parents and family. He would sit learning for many hours in the Beit Medrash. He would make sure to spend time with newly landed Ethiopian immigrant children. He helped them acclimate. He would study Torah with them. He would take them on day trips to increase their love of Eretz Yisrael. Doron, his family, and the yeshiva were full of pride when he successfully completed the exam to receive smicha on all four parts of the Shulchan Aruch. 3 weeks after he received his smicha, his life was cut short. On Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph 5768, we're now 5779, while learning in the Beit Midrash of his beloved yeshiva, Merkaz Harav, a terrorist burst into the yeshiva and opened fire. He was murdered al Kiddush Hashem. Tei Zichron Baruch. The Pasuk says in Shemos 25:2, next source on your handout. So what we're doing today is, besides we're talking about Doron and remembering the individual and fulfilling the mitzvah of Zachar Es Asher Salecha Amalek in the mouth and telling the generations of what they have done to us, we're also going to be learning some lessons from Doron Meharta. First of all, the lesson of extreme diligence, of not giving up. Sometimes in life we meet obstacles and we meet walls and we think it can't be Hashem's ratzon that we should do this. we give up all too easily. Doron understood that if he persisted, he could be successful. And when he hit one rejection after another, he did not see it like that, but he had the determination and the drive to succeed. And doesn't that make an unbelievable Eved Hashem, one who will not allow the obstacles that the Ribbono Shel Olam puts in front of him to stop him on his mission? The pasuk says in Shemos 25:2. Oh my gosh, it's this week's parsha. I'm so excited. I said to my daughter just yesterday, she said something about the parsha. I said, we're coming up to Truma. I said, Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakob, Pekudei. I said, I think they're my favorite parshios. She said, why? I said, because I'll be Pasha Pshat in the text. You think, what does Malchus HaMishkan have to do with me? What do I learn from this? And I said, my Mishkan's book is coming out. I'm so excited. Okay. Be'ezros Hashem. So we'll have a sneak preview. Dabra'el b'nei Yisrael v'yichuli Truma, speak to the children of Israel. They should take from me a portion. Me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo tichu es Trumasi. The portion or the donation shall come from every person whose heart motivates him to give. So let's look at this beautiful Das Zakenim again on your handout. The Yichuli Truma. Parshas, is everyone with me? I'm about in the middle of page one on your handout. If you came in late and you don't have one, please don't be shy. Just go get one from the Bima so you could follow along. Das Zakenim. The Yichuli Truma. Parsha zu ne'emra b'toch arba'im ya'am shahaya mi'matan Torah. So according to the Das Zakenim, he says this parsha was said within 40 days from Matan Torah. V'tzivau kosh baruchu lahachin ma'nicham sheyasu mishkan u'bei kodshei hakadoshim. So Hashem commanded Moshe to lead them that they should make a mishkan, they should make the house of the Holy of Holies, u'betochom, and what would go into the midst of the kodesh hakadoshim, the Aaron, u'betoch ha'aron luchos, and what would go into the kodesh Kadashim is the Aron. What will go into the Aron was the Luchos. V'sham Tishra Shechina, and there atop between the Kruvim, atop the Aron, Kavi Achal, Hashem contracts, so to speak, Midas Tzimtzum, the Ribbono Shel Olam, infinity contracts to rest in a finite space, Visham Tishra Shechina. So the Shechina would take a rest on top of the Aron, between the two Kruvim, the Yisrael Saviv, and Israel would be all around. So you have the Machaneh Shechina, which was the Mishkan. Inside the Mishkan is the Kodesh HaKadashim. Inside the Kodesh HaKadashim is the Aron. Inside the Aron is the Lucho, / Sefer Torah Moshe. Inside, or atop, we should say, of all this holiness is the Shechina, and all around is Knesset Yisrael. Kimos is the Das Kenim Hamalachim, just like the angels. Saviv Kisei Akavod V'Shechina B'neim. Knesset Yisrael surrounds the Kodesh HaKadashim and the Shechina Kaviyachol, just like the angels surround the Kisei Akavod, the divine throne of God. And in the midst is the Shechina, the Kein Kasuv, as the pasuk says, V'Shechanti B'Socham. The famous pasuk of Vasuli Mikdash v'Shachanti B'Socham, Shemos 25a, Kemo B'Toch HaMelachim. Hashem says, just as I dwell amongst the angels, so too with the Binyan HaMishkan, I will dwell amongst you, V'Alzeh Ne'amar. And that's what the pasuk says in Tehillim. It's a quote from Tehillim. Amarti Elokim Atem Uvnei Elon Kucham. You are people who are godly, and you are the sons of the one on high, the one most on high. Liosh Chinasi B'Nehim. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if you want to know how to bring the Shechina down to this world, and if we want to be on the level of angels, we construct the Mishkan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this private space for God. Infinity contracts, rests in this finite space atop the Mishkan, and Knesset Yisrael is around, just like the Malachim and Shemayim surround the Kisei HaKavod. Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, we've gone through the Das Kenim. Next source on your handout. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, Aramaic, says, Malil, I gave you the Aramaic and I gave you the English. Malel, speak in Bnei Yisrael, v'yisvun kadmai, they shall take a separate afrashusa, like lahafrish. They should set apart. When you take challah, you are mafrish challah, you're taking a portion. So speak to the Bnei Yisrael, they should take before me a portion, min kol di Yisraeli, from everyone whose heart motivates him to give. However, Targum Yonasan adds an important caveat, V'loba al le Musa. I bolded that for you, but not by force. Tisvun yas afrashusi. Take my portion, lahafrish. So here, Targum Yonasan is telling you that the command for nidavas hamishkan, towards binyan hamishkan, for malachas hamishkan, has to come from everyone whose heart motivates him to give. However, there's a caveat. V'loba al le Musa. It is not to be by coercion. There is no force. If you want to give, if you want to live a life dedicated to God, if you want to wash the dishes, which you see as a stepping stone instead of demeaning work, to ascend to smicha, then Hashem wants it. If you don't want it, so God's not interested. There's no force. There's no whip. There's no taskmaster. There's no officer. Rav Soloveitchik says, and it's a very beautiful piece by the Rav, and therefore I gave it to so you could follow along with me. We are towards the bottom of page one. It says the Rav. That's Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik says, Yonasan ben Uziel clarifies this phrase to me, and I gave Yonasan ben Uziel, do not use force. Do not use coercion. Although everyone, rich or poor, must give a half shekel, the contribution to the Mishkan was voluntary. So when it came to contributing, the Zav, the Rechoshev, the Kesef, the Oris Techashim, the Trelas, Argaman, Tola Shani, the Cedarwood, it is by donation, voluntary, nidava samishkan. The collection of money for the Mishkan is different from the collection of charity. The Rambam, second paragraph of the Rav, the Rambam Emor Nevuchim explains, charity is an act of justice, as the word tzedakah, tzedek, implies. Not mercy, rachamim, not chesed. The Torah, therefore, because tzedek, tzedakah, is justice, the Torah allows taking charity by force. Look at this. There's an explicit halacha. In Bava Basra, to the effect, it is permissible, this is fascinating, to remove objects from the home of a prosperous person who refuses to give charity. Isn't that unbelievable? Even on Friday, just before sundown. So when it comes to nidavat ha-mishkan, litnadev, to donate, to volunteer, I volunteered at the absorption center, I don't think where Daron was, he moved to Ashdod, I volunteered in the ones in Yerushalayim, they're still wearing their white robes, I could see it in my head, and I volunteered by meal times, and I went back to some of their rooms and they didn't know what the food was and they thought that oranges were so bizarre. They wanted to know what was orange, so we told them tapuz, tapuz, tapuz. They kept saying tapuz. They were wearing their long robes. Why did I get onto that topic? Nidava. I did volunteer work in the absorption center. So when it comes to Nidava Samishkan, it should be voluntarily. However, not like Tzedakah. Tzedakah says the Gemara, you can remove objects from the home of a prosperous person who refuses to give charity even on Friday, just before sundown. Unbelievable. Most Rishonim agree there is a legal lien. Lien? 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 I had to look it up. A right to keep possession of property belonging to another person until a debt owed by that person is discharged. There's a legal lien on one's charity, similar to the lien of a borrower. Why did the Torah eliminate? Next paragraph, right at the bottom of page one. Why did the Torah eliminate from the construction of the Mishkan, that class of activity which does not require consent on the part of the giver? So in other words, so many knots actually make a positive. Why did the Torah say it's only if you want to give? Man, next, oh, so beautiful. Man is basically a homeless being. We don't think of ourselves as homeless beings. We see the pauper in the street who's homeless as a homeless being. We do not think of ourselves as homeless. We have walls, we have a roof, we have closets, we have clothing, we have refrigerators, we have food. I'm not homeless. Says the Rav, that's not exactly correct. What defines if a person has a home and if a person is homeless? Man is basically a homeless being. Turn your paper over. No matter how large, how opulent his home, he is exposed. And this is really one of the lessons of Sukkah. Sukkah teaches us that the only place we find permanence is under Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. Man is a homeless being. No matter how large and opulent his home, he is exposed. He is subject to the vicissitudes of life. Look at this. He is subject to nature. Nature is at best indifferent to man. At worst, nature is hostile. Storms, weather, illness, accidents. Nature, to which man is subject, is at best indifferent, at worst hostile. Man is subject to an inscrutable future. There is only one home where man gains security. God is called a me'ona, an abode. He is also called a me'ona, a me'on, in Kapitel Tzadi of Tehillim, chapter 90. Hashem ma'on ataha yisalanu. The only home, I should have underlined this for you, where a man can find security is in the Ribono Sha'olam. God told Moshe not to collect the money for the Mishkan by using force. Not force the people. Because the Mishkan was to be built if the nation felt the need to build a home for God on their own. Only if you want it. Only if you're interested in it. Do we find our shelter, our security, our safety in the home of God. For God to descend from infinity into a Mishkan is kaviyachal, a sacrificial act on his part. I built the Mishkan, King Shlomo said, when he built the base of Mikdash and Malachim, is God going to dwell in this home that finite man has constructed? This act of self-contraction, which is the midah of tzimtzum, for infinity to rest in this finite space between the two. Kruvim, how is that even possible? Was a sacrifice that the Ribbono Shel Olam was willing to make, but only if the people wanted a Mishkan, and only if they were willing to contribute to the Mishkan. Vasuli Mikdash B'Shachanti B'Socham is if you want to build the Ma'on, the abode, the safety, the only permanent safety that man can find during his sojourn through the vicissitudes of life, when nature is indifferent at worst, what did he say? At best. And worst, nature is hostile, is if we find security and safety in the home of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, it's not by force. God says, do you want it? So you have a part in it. And if you don't want it, so you won't have a part of it. Avdaron, a friend, wrote, when times are hard, there's a book put out. I don't know if anybody has it or has seen it. I believe it's by Feldheim. It's called Princes of Amongst Men. It's about the eight Kedoshim. Let me just keep saying. Princes Among Men, Feldheim. It's a blue cover. It's one chapter on each one of the Kedoshim about their life. The Merkaz HaRav Kedoshim about their life. It's pieces, letters, short articles by family and friends. Avdaron, a friend, wrote, when times are hard, Hashem takes those who are closest to him. He reveals those who are nearest to him. Daron, you were near to Hashem. You had within you such devotion to Torah. Devotion has only existed in past generations. The devotion of one who has made Aliyah from a barren land to the Holy Land. And while struggling to survive financially, you dedicated your soul to Torah and the study of Halacha. There are so many ways to give, to donate to the Ribbono Shel Olam. On the one hand, there's the inyan of tzedakah, and that can be taken by force, and there's the inyan of giving your whole heart to Hashem. Just like the Ramban speaks about in Lo Tishkach, we have an idea of our heart being dedicated to Hashem. Va'aftas Hashem Elkecha b'chol levavcha. You have to want to be a resident in the Ma'on of Hashem. And it's something we should ask ourselves. Each one of us should ask ourselves, where do I feel the most secure? With whom? Is it a lowercase w or a cap uppercase w? Where do I feel? And with whom do I feel the most secure? Where is my true residence in this finite world? Does my heart really want to dedicate my life to the Ribbono Shel Olam? If I lived in the time of Nidavas HaMishkan, would I be in line to donate? Would it be because I wanted it truly or because it was peer pressure? It's something we should ask ourselves about our lives. Who is our Ma'on? And where is our permanence? Daron struggled. He made Aliyah from a barren land to the Holy Land. He struggled to survive financially, and yet he dedicated his soul to Torah. If I cannot be a Talmud here, can I wash the dishes? Who amongst us would say that? Who amongst us would not walk away and say, if you don't want me, this place isn't for me? Who amongst us would not be insulted? How could they tell me no? I've worked so hard. Maybe I could wash your dishes. He dedicated his soul to Torah and the study of Halacha. We should ask ourselves, where is our Ma'on? The Ethiopian community, continued his friends, has lost one of its rabbis. Am Yisrael has lost the symbol of self-sacrifice for Torah and for Hashem. V'ahavta Hashem Elkecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odacha. I will remember you as a friend who taught me to never give up. A friend who taught me to never be discouraged. Who doesn't need that message? Who doesn't need that reminder? Who doesn't need that lesson? that when we face the difficulties in life, if our ma'on is in the Ribono Shel Olam only, then we will not be discouraged, then we will not give up, to keep learning, to keep trying, to succeed despite the obstacles along the way. I remember you, Daron, as a friend who taught me how to always remain cheerful with a savor panim yafus. The Yichuli Truma from Shmos 25:2, which you had on page 1, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein brings down such an interesting lesson. He quotes Rav Chaim Palachi. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein is a big gadol and a dayan in Bnei Brak. His father-in-law was Rav Yosef Shamal Yashav, Zecha Tzadik Levracha. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein quotes Rav Chaim Palachi. He teaches something very interesting. If you turn back to page 1, please. Okay, Shmos 25:2, the pasuk, the third source, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yichuli truma. So look at the word teruma. The letters can be rearranged, it's easier if you see it, to spell hamosar, hamotar or hamosar. If you see it, if you look at the word truma, you know, when you were a kid, rearrange the letters, what is it, lahavdil, what is it spelled? It also spells hamotar or hamosar, which means the extra. Okay. So Rav Zilberstein says, what is the lesson? Your truma donation, contributing, is also hamosar, the extra. So Rav Zilberstein says, this implies there is a certain correlation between hamotar or hamosar, the extras, the luxuries a person enjoys in life, and teruma, the donations that he gives in his avodas Hashem. I'm going to explain, but there is a connection between the luxuries that I enjoy in my life and the teruma, the donation I give for the sake of God. A person's commitment to teruma is measured against the motar he allows himself. A person's commitment to the teruma he gives is measured against the mosar, the luxuries he allows himself to enjoy. If it is clear from his lifestyle, his personal lifestyle, he's not frugal with money. He has much motar, much luxury in his life. He's prepared to spend money on extras. He's prepared to spend money on luxuries. Then heaven pays careful attention when someone comes knocking on the door. Heaven pays careful attention to the truma he is willing to give. If that's how you spend on the mosar, on the extra, the motar, let's see if you spend as readily on the teruma. Does the same generosity that manifests in his own lifestyle manifest in the spending for mitzvos? Very interesting. Also, a question to ask ourselves. What do we spend? Where do we put more focus in life? By the way, we're not saying we shouldn't have luxuries. We all have luxuries. We live in a time of luxury. Rashi, in last week's Parsha, if you take a man's garment as collateral, you have to return it to him when the sun sets. The man has one garment, so there's covered a brios. So Hashem says, even though he owes me money, he gives you his garment as collateral. Why will he sleep in? He still needs the pajama back every night. So in the morning, you take it, tol v'hashev, and in the evening, give it back to him. And in the morning, take it back from him. In the evening, give it back to him. It's not a game. There's covered a brios. It's true, he owes you money. He has one garment. We live in a timer. If I had to give away my sweater, I might miss my sweater. A little bit, I will go to my closet and take from my other 20 sweaters that are hanging in the closet. We live in a time where we all have luxuries, and nobody is condoning that, and nobody's condemning it. It is a fact of the society in which we live. We live in, everything is luxury. There's 10 brands of mayonnaise and 20 kinds, and there's the olive oil kind, and the light kind, and the full fat kind, and I don't know, they probably have the probiotic mayonnaise, it's probably coming out, and there's 20 brands of barbecue sauce and the smoke and everything that we live. And why am I saying this? Because we just live in a time of luxury. We don't even realize we're so acclimated to the fact that we have a time. I mean, could you imagine how big the supermarkets would be if there was one of everything? There's one barbecue sauce. Guess what? You would all use it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's a fact. The question is, there's so much mosar in the society in which we live and in our lives as practicing Jews. The question is, what is our level of dedication to truma in our lives, to contributing to worthy causes in avodas Hashem in our lives? Okay, we don't have the Mishkan today. We're davening that the third base of Mikdash should immediately be rebuilt, and all of our sorrows will turn into miyagon, the simcha. However, in the meantime, there are other ways of contributing. There's a lot of tshuma we should give. If we live a so much moser, says Rav Zilberstein, so the Ribbono Shel Olam pays close attention to the level of tshuma. Are we as free with our tshuma, quote, as we are with our moser? Aside from the primary danger of luxuries, by the way, please, I'm not trying to say anything bad about mayonnaise and barbecue sauce. I buy the light mayonnaise. Everyone should buy whatever they want. It's available to us. It's fine. You understand what I'm trying to say? Not that there's anything wrong with the grocery stores. Baruch Hashem, we live where there is a plethora of items to choose from. The question is, how are we with our truma? Aside from the primary danger of luxury, says Rav Zilberstein, which is that people become accustomed to indulging in unnecessary pleasures, there are also the fact that judgment is brought against us in heaven for all of the mosar. We will be asked, I'm quoting Rav Zilberstein, if you had money for all of these luxuries, where were you when someone came knocking on your door for tshuma? Of Daron, we can learn what it means to give the tshuma. Daron's brother Mati wrote, our family is proud. My mother and my father are proud, so proud of their son's achievement. Not surprised because his intelligence was exceptional, as was his understanding. He had a dream of traveling all over the country. He wanted to meet Ethiopian youth and bring them back to their roots, their traditions, teach them Jewish values and ethics. Even if they would not follow the path he chose in life, he would want them to have the basic knowledge of honoring one's parents, correct social values. He wanted them to love Eretz Yisrael. Those are the main things he wanted to teach young people. That was his brother, Mati, who wrote that. A friend wrote, together with his devotion, his hasmada, in learning, he performed acts of kindness in a very natural and straightforward manner. He had a good heart. He was always careful not to hurt anyone's feelings. He was willing to help. His happiness, his sincere interest were apparent whenever he met a friend. Every day, he loyally spent time with studying with an elderly disabled man. And this is a person who didn't have Mosar, who made sure that the level of Truma was very high. Every day he spent time studying with an elderly disabled man. He took care of man's spiritual needs with his characteristic joyfulness and patience. I was just listening to a previous year, the Rav Shai Shachter gave on Wayu Torah. It was from a couple of months ago on Chesed. But he said something so interesting. Someone in the shul told him, he started something with his family that every night at the dinner, I don't know if it was someone from the shul, someone for us, someone told him that every night at the dinner table, they would sit around with their family, and the father instituted this. They would, in the miyuk, they would go around. Everybody had to say, what did you do to make somebody smile today? They couldn't come home, they knew, without being able to answer the question of what did you do to make someone smile today? And the man told Rav Shachter that after a while, he didn't need to ask anymore. It changed the entire action and outlook of his family. Every day they knew they went into the world, they had an obligation to make somebody smile that day. Daron every day spent time studying with an elderly disabled man. He took care of the man's spiritual needs with joyfulness and patience. At the yeshiva, he was in charge of the kitchen, and he served the students with his whole heart. Everybody loved him. So the midah of what is my level of truma in the society of Mosar in which I live. And it is also something that we should ask ourselves. So we have said, I'm recapping before we go further, we have the mitzvah of Zachar, the understanding it is Zachar Bepar, to tell our children and the next generations to make sure we fulfill. It doesn't mean when you're making a bar mitzvah schedule, someone says women and children at home, your mind should go to the Holocaust. Don't be like me all the time. However, we have a mitzvah, a chiyuv, to tell our children and to tell the dosk. We have a mitzvah, a chiyuv, to persevere. We have an obligation to be Jews who do not give up. And we have to ask ourselves, are we like Daron, or when we meet obstacles, do we allow it to throw ourselves off course? Reminds me of a beautiful Medrash Tanchuma, which of course we don't have time for everything. Medrash Tanchuma in Vayera. I believe it's Siman Tes, about all the obstacles that Avraham Avinu met on his way to the Akedah. and how the Yetzer Hara appeared in so many different disguises to stop him from his task. And we have to ask ourselves, Daron was a shepherd. He was a boy in Ethiopia. He stopped schooling at the age of 10 to tend to the sheep. He had to walk to the Sudan. He was airlifted. He had to learn a new language. Didn't know anything about Torah. He had to be a dishwasher. Ultimately, 3 weeks before his patira, he received smicha. We have to ask ourselves, what do? When we meet the barriers in life, we have to ask ourselves if we are interested in making a ma'on of God in our lives. Where are our priorities? Where do we find our home? We are a homeless being. We have to know that only through the Ribbono Shel Olam we find a home. Therefore, don't take it by force. The people have to want it. We have to understand that we must balance all the mosar in the society in which we live with the idea of teruma, because we will be asked, as Rav Zilberstein, if that is the mosar, the level of luxury you had, how was the level of teruma? Were you willing to give for tzedakah, for Torah, for chesed, for supporting base knesses, for supporting base knesses? It's a frightening thought. You should know that this is a frightening thought. I'm not teaching this. Rav Zilberstein is teaching this. And it's a scary thought. Because we live in a time where we're so acclimated to luxuries. Multiple cars, multiple foods. So would it really bother me to give away my sweaters, collateral? Not so much. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to want to know our dedication to truma in life. Moving on. The Pasuk says in Shemos 3:11... Turn back to page 2. I'm sorry, 13. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'haya kiviyacha hashgiviyach Hashem al eretz haknani kasher nishma lecha v'alavasecha unisan alach. It will be when God brings you to the land of the Canaanim, like he swore to you and your forefathers, he will give it to you. And look what Rashi says. Short Rashi, but very important. What should our view be of this land? Teheve einecha ki'ilu nitna lecha bo bayam. You should view Eretz Yisrael as if you got it when? Today. Va'al teheve einecha ki yerushas avos. You should not see it as something we are entitled to. Entitlement. Magia li. I deserve. Because my forefathers got it. So of course I have Eretz Yisrael. It should not be something antiquated and something old. And I think that this is also something that we have to ask ourselves. I, Baruch Hashem, was born into a time after Eretz Yisrael had already become Medina Yisrael. I do not know any other way. I do not know life world without Medina Yisrael. I shudder to think. I cannot even envision. My grandparents could have envisioned, going back to the Holocaust, my grandparents could well have envisioned the dream that they perhaps never thought would be a reality. And it's another question we have to ask ourselves. Rav Soloveitchik says in a totally different piece about Yosef and the brothers, God has a principle. If you don't like it, you don't appreciate it, so give it back. And we have to ask ourselves how we feel. Okay, so some people look confused. Why does he say that? Yosef and the brothers. When did the brothers feel bad that they sold Yosef? When? After. Vayakumu, they go home. Father starts crying. Vayakumu kol banav v'chol banav sov l'nachamo v'yima'en l'knachim. V'yomer ki ered al b'ni avo sh'ola. When? Now they're getting up to comfort him? What happened before? Maybe before they should have thought, maybe we could work this out. Let's sit down. Let's have a conversation, a dialogue. Before they didn't like it. What happens to the Dor Deya, the Dor HaMidbar? They reject Eretz Yisrael. So what does God say? You don't want it, you won't get it. Now they're all crying. 14:1, Parsha Shlach. Says Chazal, Tem Bechisem Bechia Shachinim, Ani Kovei Lechem Bechia Ledoros. I don't understand. I thought you don't want Eretz Yisrael. When do you realize how precious it is? The minute, says the Rav, the caravan with Yosef disappeared over the horizon. The brothers realized the value of Hine Matovu Manayim Shavas Achim Kam Yachar. And later, God said, and your carcasses will fall in this desert. What did the people say? Maybe we should want Eretz Yisrael. Now we're crying. Why are you crying? So we have to ask ourselves about Eretz Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael. Is it something, Chalil V'chas, that we take for granted? Is it something we assume we could just get on a plane, which you can, your passport's relevant, maybe you could even have miles, you don't even have to pay, you get on a plane and you just go. And is it something that we take for granted? Daron was born in something that we're so used to. like the multiple brands of ketchup and like the multiple brands of mayonnaise, and we go multiple times a year to Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. But do we appreciate that it's as if we just got it today? We're not entitled to it. It's a gift. And the Ribbono Shel Olam better see that we appreciate it. The times are changing. I try not to read the political news in the United States of America. The times are changing. Do we appreciate the gift? I don't know if anybody saw, just read it over Shabbos. They're building a Yehudi bridge in Tel Aviv. Because of so much traffic congestion, they're building an overpass for pedestrians to be able to cross over. So the Supreme Court has ruled that the bridge has to be constructed Dafka on Shabbat. Why? To reduce more traffic. If we build it during the week, it's going to make traffic even worse. Shabbat, people aren't going to work, even if they're not observant, less traffic. That's when the bridge has to be built. So the video went viral on Sunday morning because when the workers in their hard hats and yellow vests came to the construction site on Friday night, before they started to work on Bimechal Shabbos, they made Kiddush. So we're talking about the Shabbos table. So one of my kids says, isn't that worse? They know it's Shabbos. They're making Kiddush. I said, so I speak Lashon Hara. So isn't that worse? I just quoted the Ramban about Lashon Hara. I said, and someone at the table happens to be made fun of their mother at this meal. I said, so you know not to make fun of your mother. So it was unjust. You understand? Please. Chas v'shalom. I said, so you know not to make fun of your mother. So you made fun of your mother. So isn't that worse? I said, they're making Kiddush. Their neshama is so connected. And that's one of the moments that we call only in Israel. Because I can almost guarantee you 1,000% that any Jewish worker who goes to the construction site in Chutz La'aretz on Shabbat is not making Kiddush. And do we see the gift of Medina Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael as if we got it today? So we appreciate every day when we see Modi Menachnu Lach. It's not the Geula Shleima. Otherwise we would not be having the Shir in memory of Doron Meheretak. It's not the Geula Shleima. But it's a step. Do we appreciate it? Doron was born in an Ethiopian farming village in 1981. At a very young age, he worked with his brothers to help support the family. He was a shepherd. He was in good company with the Avos and with Moshe. He watched over his family's sheep and cattle, which were their only property. When he was 10 years old in 1991, Doron made Aliyah during Operation Salmon. At first, they lived in a mobile home in Kfar Sho'anim. Doron went to school in Kibbutz Lavi. Later, he studied in Kfar Chore Yeshiva. Doron's friend wrote, every person has a mission to fulfill in this world. Every one of us has been sent here by our Creator to fulfill a specific purpose. And we leave a stamp on the world. Doron taught us through his mission, nothing can stand in the way of willpower. And with enough willpower, anyone can become a Talmid Chacham. Not just the Rabbi Akiva of old, and in our day and time, a shepherd with no schooling, with no yeshiva, from a different family, a child who crossed the deserts, received his smicha before he was killed. At the relatively young age of 26, from such a prestigious yeshiva, anyone can become a Talmid Chacham. Doron taught us anyone can be a man of chesed. What is our level of truma? Anyone can be a person overflowing with happiness and faith. Do we build a ma'on of faith? Anyone can love Hashem and love others. During his lifetime, Doron sanctified Shem Shamayim. In his death, he had the merit of rising up to Hashem's throne, like we saw in the Das Kanim, like the Malachim who surround the throne. He was murdered on Rosh Chodesh, a time of atonement. May his memory be blessed. May he speak, this is still the friend writing, may he speak in defense of his dear family and all of Am Yisrael, and the merit of Torah and Eretz Yisrael, a land for which he made so many sacrifices, both in his life and in his death. May Hashem avenge his death, the friend concluded, along with the deaths of the other holy ones who were murdered only because they were Jews. May his soul rest in eternal peace. I thought it would be relevant to end with this piece from Medrash Esther Rabbah. Looking at it now and looking at the time, I'm not sure if I made the best decision. Okay, let's try. Vatomer Esther Lahashiv al Mordechai relates very beautifully to our shir. We started with the mitzvah of Zachar as the Shara Salacha Amalek, the individual, and to remember what Amalek did. Look who Amalek takes, sitting in a base medrash, learning Torah. Hunched over Al Gemara. such dedication. Dedicated to his land, his family, his people, the poor, the children. Atomer Esther Lashiva Mordechai, Amra, please follow along with your finger so I don't have to stop and tell you where you are. Where I am. Amralo, Lech Knosis, Kala Yudim Hanim Tzayim Beshushan, line 2. Vitsumu Alai, Al Tochu Al Tishlu Shlosha Simim, that's from the Megillah. Esther said, go tell Mordechai, gather all the Jews, fast for me, don't eat, don't drink for 3 days. What 3 days? Says the Medrash, Elu Hein Yud Gimel Yudal Tesva Benisan. What are those dates, ladies? Pesach. So Mordechai says, hello, you miscalculated on your calendar app. It's Pesach. Armalo, Zaken Shabi Yisrael. Lamahu Pesach. What she was saying was, if all the Jews are annihilated, what good is Pesach going to do? Bikuach Nefesh is Dochach. Hakol, I know it's Pesach. I didn't make a mistake. A woman is very attuned naturally. She has to be halachically to her calendar. I didn't make a mistake, but what's the purpose of Pesach if we're all going to be killed? Miyad Shema Mordechai v'hodol edvarem. Mordechai admitted, he heard her words, he admitted, as the Pasuk says, v'yavar Mordechai v'yas k'chol shet sivta alav Esther tam and armim sheha'evir yom tov shal Pesach betanis. So Taka, when did they fast? It was Pesach. While also Tzara v'yitpala Mordechai al Hashem. Look at this, Mordechai David. Vayomer, and he said, Galui v'yadua lifnei kisei kevodecha adon ha'olamim. It is revealed and known before your holy throne, master of the world. Kilomi gavhu leiv umeirum ayin asisi asher lo ishtachavisi lama. Not from the haughtiness of my heart and my raised eyes did I not bow down to Haman. Ki imi yiroscha pa'alti zos. Only because, Mordechai said, I fear Shemayim. The only reason I didn't bow down to Haman was because I fear you. Levelti ishtachavislo. Ki yareisi mipanecha. Because of you, Hashem. Levelti teis kivadcha lebasar v'dam. I should give your kavod, God, to Basar Vidam. The Torah says, Lo we just had that in Parshas Yisro. I didn't bow down to him because I didn't want to bow down to anyone besides for you. So if I believed that bowing down to Haman would bring salvation to Israel, of course I would bow down to Haman. I would lick the shoes on his feet, if I believed that concessions to Amalek would actually save Knesset Yisrael. But I am a Yarei Elokim, and I know that bowing down to him will bring nothing. And furthermore, it's a Yarugval Yavar Vodazar. Va'ata Eloheinu Atzileinu Namiyado. Save us. This is Sheamus. If you're not taking it, leave it on the bima. Save us from his hand. V'yipol b'shachaser karak. Let him fall into the pit he dug and be ensnared into the trap he set for your chasidim. And v'yeda hamargi says, let this wrathful one know, ki lo shachachta ha'havtacha shehivtachtanu. Please, God, is that not relevant for us? Should we not be davening this? Let that wicked one know, Hashem, that you have not forgotten the promise you made to us. What's the promise you made to us? About halfway through, it says, Vayikra Chavav, Va'afgam Zoskam, promises at the end of the Klavos, that even when we are in the land of our enemies, are we not in the land of our enemies? It's a Medina Shachaseh, but times are changing. Lo ma'astim, v'lo ga'altim, l'chatom, l'haf, that's a mistake. L'hafer brisi itam, ki ani Hashem, okay. Even when they're in the land of the enemies, God will not reject us. He will not annul the covenant because he is God. So Mordechai says, we're in the land of our enemy. And I don't believe that licking the soles of his feet would bring us Yeshua. And I didn't bow down because you commanded us not to bow down. But you show the enemy, God. You show the wicked terrorist. You show he who charges into a Beit Midrash and kills a Bachum who are learned in the purity of Torah. Ribono shel Olam, you have not forgotten us. You show them in Pittsburgh that you have not forgotten us. Ma'asa Mordechai, look at the next lines. What did Doron used to do? He wanted to travel through the country to teach the children. Kabeit et hatinokot, v'ina osa milechem umayim. Mordechai gathered the young children and he afflicted them. That word doesn't mean afflicted like torture. That's the word that we talk about on Yom Kippur. He restricted them. They were fasting. V'hilbishan sak. Even the children were in mourning with sackcloth and ashes. Even the children were crying and osik and screaming over Esahi, Isa Esther Nivchadas Ma'ab Mipnei Arash or Tzamcha B'Yisrael, because of the bread that sprouted in Israel. Esther was so afraid. V'tifsho Bigdei Malchusa V'estif Arta V'til Bashtak. She stripped herself of her princess, her queen garments, and her glory. She wore sackcloth. Atifra sar rosha, she revealed her hair. Atimaleo sa afar ve'efra, ashes on her head. Vatan and nafsha b'tzom, she too fasted. She fell on her face before God and she prayed and she says, Hashem, the God of Israel, that you have ruled from the days of old, you who created the world, help your maidservant. I am like a yosoma. I do not have a father. I do not have a mother. I have been cast to poverty. I am going from like a pauper who goes to door to door. B'mida sha'adam modik modudim lo. So we say the Ribon Shalom, we're like paupers going from door to door. And when there's a knock at the door, what's your level of truma? We give the donation. We voluntarily save those in need. Hashem, save us. I ask God for your mercy as I pass down that long hallway from window to window in the house of the king. Make me successful, your poor maidservant. She doesn't just daven that her mission should be successful. Look what she says. Remember the Yachid and remember the Lacha. The Knesset Yisrael is one. We must be united, Yashon Yachid, as an individual to win against these people. Hatzila Estzon Marisecha Min Ha'ayvim Ha'elu Asher Kamim Aleinu. A timeless cry of a Jew b'chol dor v'dor. Ki there's nothing stopping you, God, from saving the few or the many. Va'ata avi yosomim. You are the father of orphans. I am an orphan, says Esther. Amod na liyamin ha'yosoma hazos. Please stand at my right side. Hold me up, Ribon Hashalom, during this difficult time. Asher bechastecha v'atcha. With your great kindness, I have trusted in your great kindness. Usna osi l'rachami b'fnei ha'isha zeki erasiv. I'm a baser v'dam, Ribon Shalom, and I am afraid of this man. Stand at my right side. V'hashpilehu lefanai ki ata mashvil geyim. Lower him, lower all of our enemies down before us, because you, Hashem, are the mashvil geyim, the zikaron olam l'natzach, in memory of Nir Yakoin, Segad Peniel Avichayel, Yonatan Yitzhak Eldar, Avram David Moses, Yochai Lifshitz, Roe Aaron Roth, Yonadav Hirschfeld, and Duran Meherta, Zecher Tzadikim v'kadoshim in their deaths, the Vracha Hashem Yinkom Damo. We should be zochet to see the ultimate Yeshua and the tefillos of Esther and Mordechai come to fruition. B'mheira b'yameinu. And may we internalize, may we ask ourselves the questions we ask during Shir as we emulate Daron and grow in our levels of Avodah Hashem. B'suras Tovas and Chodesh Tov. It should be a Chodesh of Simcha for all. Amen.